We're going to finish out and close out a series today that we've been calling Roots Bear Fruit. Roots Bear Fruit. And so what we've been doing is we've been talking over the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about the outward occurrences or the manifestations that people see in our lives that either leave a good or a bad taste with them, right? We've been talking about how we handle ourselves and how we respond to things, not just react to things, but how we respond to things despite the circumstances we're facing and how that impacts the people and the atmospheres around us. So we could, personally and as and corporately as a church, we could be bearing good fruit or we could be bearing bad fruit in all those moments. But we got to know, and I've said this every week throughout this series, I'm going to say it maybe for the last time today, but we got to know that any good fruit that is in our lives is only there because of the root, who is Jesus Christ, right? All right? But we also got to know on the opposite end of that, any bad fruit that is in our lives is there because of a root that is there, okay? So the root bears the fruit. Everything has a root cause. Whether we have success or whether we have failure, there's a root cause to both of those things. And so there are areas in my life, I've said this in this series already, but there are areas in my life where I can look and I can see some good fruit and I can say, praise God for that. This is good. This is fruitful. Thank you, Lord, right? But then there are other areas in my life, right? Different areas in my life where I can look and say, and I believe everybody in this room could probably do this, right? Because none of us are perfect. But we can look at our life in certain areas and we say, hey, this is really not good fruit. I do not want this here. It doesn't need to be here. It needs to be pruned and uprooted. And so we have to go to the vine dresser, who is our God, right? And we ask him to prune and uproot things that should not be there that we don't want there. Amen? Pruning's not fun, but it is necessary. If you want a plant to grow and thrive, you got to do some pruning. We have some knockout roses. Are they roses? What are they called? Yeah, knockout rose bush in the front of our house. And so the neighbors, there's an elderly couple that lives next door to us, and hers was just flourishing. And it's just like all these beautiful roses. And man is like, look at those. And then look at ours. They're barely. And I said, ma'am, how do you get it? She said, you got to prune. Yeah. So if you really want to grow, pruning is necessary. It may not be fun. I was actually pruning our hydrangeas last year, and I got stung. I'm allergic. So there's some hardship in growth, but it's necessary. Amen? Amen. All right. That's not in the notes. That's all free right there. All right. So in week one, we talked about Jesus being the vine, the true vine, the root to all things good in our lives. And we said if there's any good fruit that is produced in us, and if there's any good fruit that we bear in our lives, it only comes as we abide in him, in Jesus. Amen? And we said that because Jesus said that. Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So as we abide or as we remain in Jesus, we will bear much fruit and it'll be good fruit in our lives, right? And that brings glory to God. But without Jesus, there can and will be bad roots which produce bad fruit. And so in weeks 2 and 3 of this series, we actually talked about some of those bad roots that could be in our lives and that can produce some of that bad fruit. We talked about rejection, rebellion, religion. And then last week, we kind of tied it together and said many of those roots can come from a root of bitterness. We called bitterness the root cause of root causes. But here is the good news in all of that. God can redeem and uproot any and all of those things in our hearts and in our lives and turn it for good. Amen? And so today I want to talk about going from bitter roots to better roots. Amen? And the only way we can go from bitter roots to better roots is to grab a hold of Jesus and be rooted in him, the true vine. So I'm just going to start out. I'm going to read you some scriptures on better roots. This is Proverbs 12, chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved." Another way to say that is it's planted, right? Proverbs 12, 12, "The wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit." Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk in him, rooted," right? "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Here's the last one for right now, Romans 11, 6. "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy," we know Jesus is the root. He's the true vine. "If the root is holy, so are the branches." He said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches." He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So if the root's holy, we can be holy. Amen? Praise God for that. So let's talk about better roots. So I've said this. The first thing we got to do is grab a hold of Jesus and abide in him. But anyone who knows anything about gardening knows that there are some things, some cultivation that needs to take place if you want to see a plant grow. There's some cultivation that takes place. Whether it's a flower or a tree or a fruit or a vegetable, there are certain things necessary that you have to do to cultivate the growth of that plant. So today I want to give you 3 points on having better roots, that will produce better fruit. So here's the first point. Number one is this: better roots must be planted. Better roots must be planted. I'm getting ready to read you one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible, especially since we planted Remnant Church here in Adairsville and started pastoring it. Since 2016 is when we actually came to Adairsville. And so this scripture is actually a prayer of mine personally for this church. It's a prayer of mine for the people and the families that attend this church. And actually this scripture plays a part in the prayer that I pray before every time I preach up here on Sunday mornings. And so you can find the scripture actually in two different books of the Bible. It's actually quoted twice. You can find it in Isaiah 37, and you can find it in 2 Kings 19. And I'm going to read it from 2 Kings 19 today as we start this sermon. But what I'm going to try to do is give you these 3 points. I've already given you one. We must be planted. But I'm going to give you these 3 points, and then hopefully I'm going to close out today's sermon by talking about the context and the story behind this one verse, okay? This is 2 Kings 19, verse 30. It says, "And the remnant," can you guess why I really like it? "And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again," I want you to take note of the word again. Everybody notice the word again, okay? It's important for all of us. "And the remnant who have escaped from the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward." They shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. So we could simply pull from this single verse right here, and we could say, if you want to bear fruit, you're going to have to take root. If you want to bear fruit, you're going to have to take root. So when you guys hear me pray just about every Sunday, you heard me pray it today, I say this prayer, really. I say, "Lord, let this be seed that is planted into fertile soil of our hearts. Let it be water to seed that has been planted, and I pray that you, the Lord of the harvest, will bring the increase." Okay? What I'm basically saying when I'm praying that each time is this. It's not a routine. It's a prayer of my heart. I'm saying, "God, let this word that you've given me and the ability to be able to speak and preach, let it take root and use it to help us grow." That's what I'm basically saying in a nutshell. Let it take root. Let the word that we're hearing today, not just for you, but for me as I preach it, let this word take root in our heart and enable it to help us grow. And I pray that because I know if it takes root downward in us, then it will bear fruit upward out of us. Amen? All right. So, I ask you to remember the word again. because I think it should be very encouraging to all of us here. Here's why I love the word again in this scripture, because it means that Judah messed up. It tells us that Judah messed up. But even in their mess up, this was not the end for them in God. There was still hope for them despite their mess up. And here's why I want all of us to take notice of that, because I'm going to ask you a real personal question. Have you ever messed up? Let me see your hand if you've ever messed up in life. If you didn't raise your hand, come to the altar. Because you a liar. Raise your hand if you messed up again. Let me see. Okay, yeah, that's everybody, right? Well, I got good news for every single one of us, including Pastor Andrew today. If there's an area in our life where we have messed up, we can take root again. We can take root again. So if you're struggling in your marriage, right? You can dig into scriptures on marriage and how God said it should be, how the husband should be, how the wife should be, and how a real Christian marriage should look. You can buy and read some Christian books on marriage. You can go to a marriage seminar. You can take root downward in that area and dig deep into those things. If you're struggling in finances, you can find scriptures that talk about finances and giving and generosity, and you can dig deep into the ways that God says for us to be good stewards of what he's blessed us with and given us. And then we do things his way. That is taking root downward. In other words, if you have bad fruit, take root again. Take root again. Now plants, they grow and they flourish as their roots grow downward. So let me say this. If you want to go from bitter roots to better roots, it's not just enough to have seeds scattered on the ground once a week on Sunday, right? What I mean by that is we're throwing out pretty good seed every week here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday midweek. We're throwing out seed on the ground every time we gather here. But that seed that's thrown out on the ground really only takes root as you dig into it deeper, personally. That means when you were at church, should not be the only time that you are hearing or seeing and reading the scriptures, right? You got to dig deeper. You should be taking that seed and digging so it can be planted so the roots can grow downward, right? And let me throw out a plug real quick. If you got the Remnant Church app, it's been revamped here lately. But we got an easy way for you to be able to take notes and keep the scriptures that we have every Sunday here, right? Keith King's been working on this, and he did something really cool this past week. If you open up your church app and you scroll down, there's a place that's called Sermon Notes. You can click on it, and when I click on it, it takes me right to this sermon series, the last one we were in, Roots Bear Fruit. And even today's, week 4, Roots Bear Fruit, I can click on that, and look what it'll do. It'll bring up every scripture I'm using today, and it'll give you the ability to write a note on it. So you can dig deeper, and then when you're finished, you can just email it to yourself. It's got all these notes, it's got all my points on it. Better roots must be planted, all right? So you have a tool to be able to dig deeper. But you can't just expect it to happen right here on Sunday morning. You got to go throughout the week and dig deeper so you can get rooted. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 14 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." I love palm trees. If I see a palm tree, it means I'm in some climate with some beautiful weather, right? "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." So who's going to be fresh and flourishing? Who shall bear fruit in their old age? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Please hear my heart on this, okay, when I'm saying this. I want you planted here at Remnant Church. If it's not Remnant, you need to get planted in a house of God where the Word of God is preached and unapologetically, right? The truth is proclaimed. But I want you planted here. If you want to be planted here, not just attend once or twice a month, on Sunday mornings. But I want you to get it planted, right? If you've not gone through Remnant Connect, I mentioned this announcement we got coming up in June. I want you to go through those classes and get connected and start serving. That helps you get planted. I'm not saying that because we're short on volunteers. We got plenty of volunteers, probably 80, right? Around 80 volunteers that help week in and week out every week, right? But I'm saying that because this helps you connect and it helps you get planted in God's house, and this is for your benefit, as the Word of God tells us right here. It's for your benefit. It helps you stay fresh. It helps you stay flourishing. It helps you continue to bear fruit even in a mature age. I took the word old out of there and just said mature to make you feel better. So number one is we gotta get planted in God's house. Here's number two. Better roots must be watered. Better roots must be watered. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, which is water, right? And he will not fear when heat comes. Wouldn't it be great to live a life free of fear? Just free of fear, right? But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought. How many would like to live a life where things are going wrong? There's drought, but you're not anxious about it. You don't have to worry about it. That'd be nice, right? Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Even in a year of drought, you can still bear fruit and yield fruit. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, or the word of the Lord. And in his law, or in his word, he meditates day and night. He, the one that meditates, that delights in the law of the Lord, in the word of the Lord, and meditates on it, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. Now, that's just some really, really, really amazing scripture right there, because it says those who are planted in God's house and those who are watered, they water their roots through the word of God, they will bring forth fruit in its season. The leaves will not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Now, let me tell y'all something. I don't know what you want, but I want everything I do to prosper. You may not, maybe you're looking to fail in some areas of your life. I'm not. I'm looking to succeed, right? I want to prosper in everything I do. So if we want to prosper in everything we do, we need to be planted and we need to be watered. So we said planting is being in God's house. The watering is being in God's word. Being in God's word. Reading the word. Learning the word, meditating on the word, hearing the word preached throughout the week. I drive a lot. I've been back and forth to Atlanta all over the place this week, and I listen to preaching a lot while I'm driving. I just listen to other preachers preach. You know, hear the word preached. Study the word of God for yourself. All of that is watering better roots. The word of God is referred to time and time again throughout Scripture as water. Right? So water the better roots. I alluded to this in the first point, but if there's an area in your life where you're struggling, get into the Word of God. Study out things about what God says about it and water the better roots. Our youngest son, Elisha, he's had some real struggles with fear growing up. He's 9 years old right now, going on 10. He's halfway to 10, right? But he's had some real struggles with fear growing up. And he's really overcome a lot, and he's come a long way. He's made a lot of progress. But there's been many, many times through the first 9 years of his life that he has woken me up in the middle of the night just wanting me to hold him because he was so afraid and because he had some sort of bad dream, okay? And every time he has woken me up, I'll always say, well, let's pray. Sometimes it was more like this. Well, let's pray. Because I'm half asleep. Right? And I'll say, let's pray. And so it got to the point where I would always say that, and we would pray, that when he would wake me up, he wouldn't say, hold me or anything else. He would say, Daddy, pray. You know, he would just say, Daddy, pray. And you know what I would always pray, and what I've taught him to pray for himself in those moments? I taught him to pray the word. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we would pray that prayer. I'd say, look, this is what we're going to pray. This is, we're praying, there's power in the word of God. God didn't give you that spirit of fear, so you're not going to have a spirit of fear. The Lord has not given me this. I reject the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. But what he's given me is power to overcome it. He's given me love to know that he's protecting me, and he's overshadowing me, and he's given me a sound mind so I don't have to worry about it, right? And so we would pray those things. We'd pray the word. We'd rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name for trying to make us afraid. And do you know, I cannot remember the last time he woke me up afraid. Now, he's come and gotten to bed with us, but he's not woke me up afraid saying to pray anymore. And he hasn't dealt with that much fear lately. And do you know why? You know why? First of all, because God's word is true. And here's number two. Secondly, we took and we watered some better roots in his life with God's word, and we're seeing the fruit of it. Now, did it happen right away? No, there were several times. We prayed that prayer over and over and over again, and we come against that fear, but we continued to speak the word, declare the word, until it took root, and now I'm seeing the fruit of it. He doesn't wake me up saying I'm afraid. He'll walk from his room all the way to our room and not wake us up and just hop in the bed and cuddle with me. But he's not afraid, right? So we got to water the better roots with the word. So number one is get planted. Number two is water with the word. Here's number three. Better roots must be fertilized. Better roots must be fertilized. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read a quick parable that Jesus told. Really quick parable. Luke 13, 6 through 9. Jesus also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? It's taking up space, basically what he's saying. But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, in other words, he's saying, great. If it bears fruit, great. We got what we're looking for. But if not, after that, you can cut it down, right? So if you have an area in your life that is not bearing good fruit, fertilize it. Fertilize it. So what do I mean by fertilize it? Well, first of all, let me start out and say this. Let's keep it real and honest this morning. Fertilizer is manure. It's poo-poo. Okay? It stinks. Amen? Are y'all with me? Fertilizer stinks. Now, how many of us have gone through or are going through some things in our life that stink? It stinks. There's no other way around it, no other way to say it, just what's happening, what's going on. Man, it flat out stinks. It stinks. Well, fertilizer is going through the tough times and the stinky times and pressing into God. And I'd really like to put it this way. I'd like to say it this way. Fertilizer is prayer. It's prayer. Because when we go through hard times, what do? We pray. We cry out to God for help, or at least we ought to. We should be. So here's what this parable's saying. This is a tree that's not bearing fruit, and he says, well, let's just cut it down. And the keeper says, whoa, wait just a minute. There's still value in this tree, but let me do something first. Let me dig around it, and let me get all the weeds, and let me get all the thorns and all the things that's not supposed to, all that bad stuff out. Let me get all that out. Then let me put some fertilizer around its roots, and then let us give it some time again, right? There's that word again, to see the fruit produced in it. Let's see. Let's give it some time. after we fertilize it. Evan, our oldest, goes to Snorville High School, and the Gordon County Recreation Department is right there beside Snorville High School. So Elisha plays sports through that recreation department and Calhoun, but he plays out there as well. So we go and are out there quite a bit. We're at the high school fields and gym. We're at the recreational fields and gym, and just back and forth. And if you know anything about that area, you know that it's surrounded by farmland and pastures out there. Actually, there, as you get into the certain area, it's called Farmville. Farmville, right? He's playing on a little travel team right now. It's called they call them Farmville, right? What are y'all called, Evan? Farmville what? Just Farmville? Farmville Phoenix. Farmville Phoenix. So you're in Farmville when you go out there, okay? And there's many times where you're driving out there, and you see all these beautiful fields, these pastures, and you're just looking out your car window. It's beautiful. You're right. You know, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful green grass and flowers and growing gardens, all these sort of things. It's a beautiful sight. And you can pull up in that parking lot and you can get out of that car expecting to take a long, deep breath of clean, fresh air because of what you're seeing. But even when you get out and you go, ooh, it stinks. How many's ever been out there and smelled it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. It stinks. And it stinks because they fertilize some of the fields around there, right? But even though it stinks every now and then, right, I know and the owners of the field know that that fertilizer is what's helping those fields and those plants grow and become the beautiful sight that you see driving in, okay? And I'm telling you, right here, right now, this morning, if you got some stinky stuff going on in your life, you can use it as fertilizer to drive you to pray. Amen? All right, so we got to be planted. We got better roots must be watered, and better roots must be fertilized. Now, I said I was going to read that scripture from 2 Kings and come back to it, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it again to you, and then I'm going to tell you the story behind the scripture. 2 Kings 19:30, and the remnant who escaped from the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. So this scripture is obviously talking about the kingdom of Judah, which was the southern kingdom of Israel. Israel was split into two kingdoms, the southern, which was Judah, the northern, which was Samaria. And at this time, Judah was ruled by King Hezekiah. And I want to talk about this because the kingdom of Judah had messed up. And they found themselves in a difficult, stinky situation, right? Before Hezekiah became king, they had really abandoned God. The God had brought them out of Egypt, did all these great things, set them up as a kingdom. They really abandoned God, and they had turned to pagan and idol worship. And the kings that had been ruling over them were actually leading them further into all of this evil and this rebellion towards God. But then it says that Hezekiah becomes the king of Judah at the age of 25 years old, young man, right, to rule the nation. 25, he becomes king. And we know, as we read, that Hezekiah, he ruled for 29 years. But the Bible tells us that Hezekiah, it doesn't say this about many kings, but it says that Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, just as his forefather David had done. And that's a huge compliment because David, by the Israelites, is considered the greatest king that ever ruled over them. And it says he done everything right in the eyes of the Lord, as his forefather David had done. It says that Hezekiah went through and he started to tear down and cut down and destroyed the altars and the idols that the people, the false gods that the people had been worshiping. It says that he opened the doors to the house of the Lord and repaired them. We know that he actually overlaid them with gold, made them very valuable, right? He began to fix up the house of God again. It says that he began to cry out and repent for those that ruled before him, the kings that ruled before him, and he began to repent on behalf of his nation that had turned their entire backs on God. It says that he began to cry out, and he told other people in his kingdom, you need to repent. You need to get right with God. He told the other leaders in his kingdom and in the house of God, hey, we got to get the house of God in order again, but first you got to get yourself in order again and get yourself and your heart aligned and in unity with God again. He began to repair the temple, and worship was restored for God, Jehovah God, and God alone during his rule. So there was a reformation, there was a revival that began to take place in Judah because of King Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 31:21 actually says, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. There's that word again. He prospered. Everything that Hezekiah did, he says he did it with all his heart, and he did it seeking God, trying to please God, and because of that, he prospered. And not only did he prosper, but the nation prospered. Hezekiah was only doing what was right to the best of his ability. He was going after God with all of his heart. He was prospering. His kingdom was prospering. And it would be nice to say they lived happily ever after, never had any trouble because they served God and went after him with their whole heart, the end. But I wish I could tell you that's how the story goes, but that's not how it goes. That's not real life, right? I wish I could tell you that when you get saved, you'll never have another problem in the world and you can tiptoe through the tulips to eternity. Nope, that's not the truth. The truth, it wouldn't be the truth. It's not even what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this world you have trouble, but in the midst of the trouble, you can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? The truth is, the word of God says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, right? But the Lord delivers them out of them all. The truth is, God's word says, hey, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God takes care of his people in the midst of troubles, in the midst of stinky situations. That's the truth. The truth is this. We have hope in the middle of crisis. We have hope in the middle of crisis. So Hezekiah and Judah, they're prospering, but the enemy had taken notice. The Assyrians at this time, they're under the rule of a king named Sennacherib, okay? And they were conquering, they were going around, they were conquering nation after nation, bringing them under his rule. Until eventually King Sennacherib, he sends captains and his armies to Judah to surround them and says, hey, I want you to take that kingdom too. I want that one too, right? Now, as they surround, Hezekiah tries to do things peacefully, but he tries to do things his own way, right? He kind of messed up here again, right? He sends word and he says, hey, I'll give you everything we've acquired. We've been prospering. We've been seeking the Lord. We've been prospering. We've got all kind of riches. I'll give you everything, all the money in our treasury. He sends him all the money. He says, if you'll just back off and leave us be. So he gives him all the money in the treasury from the house of God. He actually takes off the golden doors from the temple and gives them to the Assyrians. The Assyrians gladly take all that cash, and then they're like, okay, well, we change our mind. We're still going to overtake you. We're still threatening to overtake you. And so they're still surrounding the city after they've taken everything they've got. And the captain of the Assyrians says this. He calls out to Judah and King Hezekiah, and he says, O king of Judah, on what strength can you rely? What strength can you rely on? What is your confidence in that you're going to try and keep us out now? We've already taken everything you got. He actually calls out and he mocks him. He says, king of Judah, I'll actually give you 2,000 horses if you can find 2,000 men to ride on them and help fight against us. I'll gladly give you 2,000 horses. You can go read this in 2 Kings 19. I'm giving you the story, right? I encourage you to go read it. Dig deeper. Get rooted, right? So he says, I'd give you 2,000 horses, but you can't even find enough men to ride on them because they're afraid. Look what you got at your doors. Your numbers don't compare to ours. You're done, right? You're helpless and you're powerless against us. The Assyrian captain goes on not only to mock Hezekiah and God's people, the Israelites, but he actually mocks God himself, right? He says, you think your God can save you? You think your God will save you? Where were all the other gods of all the other countries and nations that we've conquered? They cried out and they trusted in their gods too, but they were overcome by us. Even Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel, he says, even your northern kingdom, they serve supposedly and worship the same God as you. And he didn't save them. The problem was Samaria wasn't. They were in idol worship. They weren't worshiping the one true God. Okay? And so he says, even Samaria, we took them. God didn't save them. If they were given over to us and he did not save them, he will not save you. There is no help. There is no hope. There is not a God who can save you from our hands. You ever been there? Where you felt like there was no help? Where you felt like there was no hope? Where you felt like there was no way out? You were surrounded on every side? You've been at a place where the enemy seems like surrounded you. But not only you, even all those around you, your family and everything's going on. And in some ways, you tried to take things into your own hands. And you tried to handle it yourself. And you thought maybe for just a little bit you had some relief. But then the enemy came right back. And now you're all out of resources. You're all out of strength in your own power to do it. And you come to the point where if God don't do something, ain't nothing getting done. At that moment, when you're in that moment, in that stinky of a moment, can you still believe? Can you still trust God? That's Hezekiah and the people of Judah at this moment. And it says in 2 Kings 19 that Hezekiah, after this, he went to the house of the Lord. He's calling out, the captains are mocking him. He says, I'm going to the house of God. Sometimes the only answer and the help you need, you can only find in the house of God through the word of God and in prayer to God. Right? Because that's a place where you can be planted, watered, and fertilized. Right? So Hezekiah, he goes to the house of the Lord, and he begins to pray. And as he begins to cry out to God on behalf of his kingdom. And he says, God, things are way out of control for me. All I know to do is go to the house of God and pray. And he begins to pray, and then he says, hey, I need y'all to send word to the prophet Isaiah, who wrote the book of Isaiah that we read, right? He says, send word to the prophet Isaiah and tell him, if he's looking for me, I'm in God's house, and I'm praying. He says, we the remnant are praying. We the remnant are still trusting God. We the remnant, all we got left is to trust God. And we trust that he's heard the blasphemy of these Assyrians and that he's going to take note of that and deliver us. So, man of God, if you need us, we're in the house of God. But I'm asking you, would you pray with us, Isaiah? And by the way, has the Lord given you a word? Ever been there? I'm praying, but anybody got a word from the Lord? I'm praying, God, but you won't send somebody to give me a word? And the word of the Lord does come to Isaiah, right? And he sends word back to Hezekiah. He says, look, the Lord says, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. The enemy's not come just against you, but he's come against me because you belong to me. And your heart seeks to please me. So now this is what I'm going to do as the Lord God. I'm going to take a hook, put it in the enemy's nose. This is what it says, literally. I'm going to put a hook in the enemy's nose. I'm going to put a bridle on his lips. Stop that smack talk, and I'm going to turn him away from your place and send him back the way he came. And then this is where that scripture comes in. He says, and as for my remnant, 2 Kings 19, 30, and the remnant that is escaped from the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. If you go on and you read the rest of 2 Kings 19, you'll find out that that very night, the Lord sent an angel, and it went into the Assyrian camp, and it killed 185,000 men, destroyed the army in one night. And it says King Sennacherib got up the next day, fled back to Nineveh from the way he came. Now, Amanda, you can come. It's no secret that the enemy has come against so many families here recently, right? Everybody knows it's very, very vocal about what's happening with Justin and Cassidy, but over the past several weeks, there have been so many things that are going on within, not just our church, but within the kingdom of God. Seems like there's attacks on every side for the last several weeks. I've been running around crazy. So many families are dealing with different attacks and different diagnoses of sicknesses and ailments and different other things going on, all kinds of stuff. The enemy took notice of the move of God that's happening in many lives, and he's tried to surround God's remnant. And I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the Bible believers, right? Right? The kingdom of God, staying true to him, right? And I believe God would have me let you know this morning, your prayers aren't falling on deaf ears. They're not falling on deaf ears. The attack of the enemy on your life or my life is not just against us, but it's against God himself, because we belong to him. We belong to him. You belong to him. If you don't know that, you need to know you belong to him this morning. And if you don't, you can surrender your life to him. Listen, we may have all lost our footing at one point or another. But the word of the Lord says we once again can take root downward and bear fruit upward. And he will send the enemy back the way he came. He'll send him running. He'll utterly destroy what came to destroy you. One of my favorite scriptures is, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. That's all right. If you feel the tug, come. You feel the tug, come. I won't say this. I won't say this because some of us, if not all of us, have some stuff going on in our lives right now. But if we will dig deeper and turn to the Lord in prayer, I believe it'll blow us away what's about to happen. What's about to happen, God's going to take what looks like an impossible situation in our lives, and he's going to turn it into something beautiful and refreshing. We've been doing revival stories on Sunday nights. Last week, my sister was here with her husband and told a powerful testimony. Many of those testimonies are stories about impossible situations or stinky things that were happening in people's lives that God turned around, where he healed it and turned it around. They read this scripture last Sunday night. I'm going to read it right now as I close. It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. This is what I believe the Lord is wanting to do for you today. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Today, I feel like the Lord is saying this. He wants to turn some things around for some people. He wants to make some bitter roots better roots. He wants to console and comfort some people that are grieving and going through a very difficult moment. He wants to exchange the mourning. And he wants to give you an oil of gladness. He wants to give you an oil of joy. He wants to give you beauty from what the enemy said is ashes. He's going to make something rise from the dust. He wants to exchange with you all the spirit of heaviness that you're walking around with. And he wants to say, you give me that, and I'm going to give you a garment of praise. Go ahead and praise me like I already turned it around, and watch what I do. He wants to make you a righteous tree, planted so that he may be glorified. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm just going to ask you one question. Will you let him? Will you let him? I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm just going to say, hey, they're going to sing. And if the Lord's speaking to you, if you got some stinky stuff going on in your life that you need God to turn around, maybe you've never been rooted and found in him, whatever it is, if the Lord spoke to you in this sermon at any moment, I want you to come. I want you to come as they sing. Let him turn it. Will you let him turn it around? Will you let him?